Canadian researcher Dr. David Welch makes his way out of the cold waters of the Kenai River on a recent Saturday afternoon. He's working beneath the waves of the Kenai and the Kasilof, placing electronic receivers for a tracking study that will help shed some light on exactly where in the water Chinook and sockeye salmon are as they approach the rivers.
The receiver will know the date and time that each fish went by the serial number on the tag, but also the depth of the animal. And that depth information is critical, because if we can establish that there's a significant difference in the depth that the Chinook are migrating in, and they're thought to be deeper, then conceivably the nets could be shortened up so that they're hung from the surface but don't hang down as far as they do now. The sockeye fishermen can catch their quota of sockeye, which is big, and they can avoid the bycatch of Chinook.
Dr. Welch has been studying Pacific salmon for decades, first with the Canadian government, and in 2000 he started his own company, Kintama. The goal was to provide science and data that might explain declines in salmon stocks up and down the Pacific coastline of North America.
They're puzzles, like they're multi-dimensional Rubik's Cube, you know. How do you put all this equipment together? How do you keep it in place? How do you get it back? And then how do you take the data and get something out of it that's actually worthwhile and justifies the cost of doing the research?
The cost for doing this research is just under $700,000. With this study, the Department of Fish and Game is looking to answer four basic questions. Here's fisheries biologist Mark Ouellette.
The first question would be, what are the differences in entry patterns of Chinook and sockeye salmon into the Eastside Set Net fishery in relation to date, tide stage, and wind velocity? Second question is, what are differences in the vertical distributions of Chinook and sockeye salmon? What are the differences in migration rates of Chinook and sockeye salmon in relation to tagging date and fish length? And how do tidal fluctuations in the Kenai estuary affect milling behavior of Chinook and sockeye?
Efforts like this can bring together strange bedfellows. Commercial and sport fishing groups stretching from the Kenai Peninsula up to the Matsu Valley recently signed off on a few research areas they all support, including this particular study. None of it's real groundbreaking stuff, but consensus between groups like the commercial-friendly Alaska Salmon Alliance and the Kenai River Sport Fishing Association is almost as rare as king salmon seem to be these days. Arnie Thompson is the executive director for the ASA.
We did come to agreement on a big one is the genetics studies, and we're all very supportive of expanding genetic analysis because of the diversity in the composition of the stocks that come into Cook Inlet.
Being able to identify things like what river a fish came from could go a long way in helping to tailor management decisions. Set net fishing for sockeye was shut down almost entirely last year, triggered by a shutdown of king fishing in the river. Both sides criticized that decision. They said it was like performing surgery with a chainsaw. The restrictions were too broad.
You know, we can all argue about allocations, but one thing that we can coalesce around is you know, getting better information.
That's Ricky Geese of the Kenai River Sport Fishing Association.
And agreeing on what, you know, type of research is necessary. And so I think you're seeing some agreement between different user groups and saying, hey, let's work towards getting better information so that we can use for management.
Dr. Welch says his research is showing the saltwater environment to be a dangerous place for salmon. Survivability in the open water is going down, and for any number of reasons. It could be a food source problem. It could be temperature changes. It could be the often cited bycatch problem. He says more ocean research is just beginning to make people down south rethink their management priorities.
Now, does it really make sense, you know, with a lot of sharks and other things with big teeth in the ocean, to drop them off in a rough neighborhood if, in fact, the survival's worse there? You know, we're early days in doing this, and there's legitimately lots of skepticism about whether we're right. But for the first time, people are saying, oh, crap, you know, maybe we should be rethinking this. You know, maybe it's not appropriate to just say, get them to the ocean as fast as possible. What we thought or what our assumptions were may not be correct.
Dr. Welch is tagging fish throughout the month of July down by Homer. He'll mark 70 sockeye and 70 Chinook by surgically implanting tiny transistors. When the fish swim over the array laid out at the mouth of the Kenai and the Kasilof Rivers, the data will come in, and the final report to Fish and Game is due in March. Reporting in Kenai, I'm Shaylin Cochran.